So guys, this morning I'm going to be talking about God's image in me. I'm really excited to share this talk with you. It's something that's been on my heart actually for quite a few years since lockdown. But yeah, it's just taken me a while to get my butt in gear and actually say to Adam, I've got to talk. So yes. But first of all, just because I thought there might be a few people here who maybe have not met me before or don't know me, so I'm going to do a little introduction. I'm married to the lovely Mark Middleton, who you can see up here. Yeah, that's true. 15 or 16 years. 16? Something like that. So, yeah. The compliments get few and far between. We have the lovely Arthur there. For my job, I'm a gymnastics coach. It's what I love to do. It makes me very happy still after doing it for about 33 years or something now. I love it. When I'm not working, I love to spend time with my friends at the spa and other places. As we've joked about already, I'm a little bit of a talker. So, in fact, on that note, I'm going to start my timer just to make sure I don't talk at you for too long. So let's make sure we definitely do that. Yes, I'm a bit of a talker. I also love a board game or two. Fortunately, my husband joins me in that, so that's helpful. And if it's just me on my own, my favourite thing in the world is just to read a good book. And it's always been a dream of mine to have a house big enough with a nice library so I can swoosh across on the ladder like Belle. So a few little insights into me, whether you know me. Maybe you know me a little bit better now after all that. So yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys today about being made in the image of God. And for those of you that have been in church for a while, for a long time, it's maybe something that you've thought about a lot, maybe something you've heard talked about quite a lot. And the same was true of me. You know, right at the beginning of the Bible, in the first book in Genesis, it says God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And for me, it's something that, through even studying at Bible college, wherever, I'd always had kind of a generic sort of feel about it, as in, you know, this is just generic as human beings. You know, God is creative, therefore human beings are creative. You know, God's a thinker, he makes decisions, so he's made us to think and to make decisions, to have free will like he does. You know, he has authority, so he's put us in authority. So it's something that I always kind of thought of in a quite a generic, like, human being kind of way. And it wasn't really until lockdown that I actually started to recognise that for each of us, being made in God's image is loads more than that. It's actually really, really intensely personal. Lockdown. It was an interesting time. I'm sure that we all responded quite differently. I'm sure that all of our experiences were quite different. And I found it so interesting during lockdown how different I actually found my experience and my reaction to being locked down to it felt like most of the world around me. It kind of made me realise, like, wow, I'm really different to you guys. I mean, most of you probably knew that already, but and it really highlighted to me some key drivers that are a fundamental part of who I am, that are things that are right down in the very core of my being. I already knew that family was something that was a foundation for me. It's really important to me, family and friends who are really close. I kind of put in that family bracket in my heart. That's always been like a foundation stone for me, something that I would have said matters most. And to me, those relationships are so fundamentally important that I'd say that they're sacred to me. So for me, family is something that is sacred to me. And then during lockdown, I went on a bit of a journey of self-discovery. Now, this won't surprise most of you. I always knew that, you know, I'm a rebel. It's who I am. I see a sign that says, don't walk on the grass. Oh, it actually makes me really want to walk on that grass because I'm there going, well, why not? Yeah, sorry, Mark, I know. It's hard to live with. But I'm literally, everything in me is going, well, who are you to tell me that I shouldn't walk on this grass? Well, what's going to happen if I do walk on the grass? But I never really thought about that too much. You know, I never really thought about why I was like that too much until lockdown. And then suddenly, there were rules. So many rules. Rules that didn't make sense at all to me. You know, and so many of our freedoms just got taken away. And I know that for everyone during lockdown, there was a massive bunch of crazy big things that people struggled with that probably were a lot more than what I was struggling with. You know, a lot of people were in a lot of fear. There was fear, there was loneliness, there was a whole bunch of horrible things that people really struggled with in lockdown. But it really highlighted to me, I was like, I'm not struggling with the same things as everybody else at all. But I realised I've just got this absolutely fundamental need for freedom that, again, it's deep down inside of me. It's so strong. And for those of you that remember the 90s movie Braveheart, I like to think of it, it's like I've got this little Scottish warrior running around in my soul with blue face paint, just screaming, freedom! It's so powerful. It's so powerful in me. And the final thing that I really realised about myself that is key for me is truth. And as a child and a young person, I was one of those black and white, you know, people. It was like, it's right or it's wrong. There's no grey. I have progressed a little since then, as those of you that know me will know. But yeah, for me, I've just been one of those people always, what you see is what you get. You know, what I say is actually what I think, and probably I shouldn't say all of it, but that doesn't occur to me. And once I became a Christian, one of the ways that I've really always connected with God is through words of truth. You know, I read the Bible and something just shoots into my heart like an arrow. I read a certain verse, or I hear a talk, or someone gives a prophetic word, and whatever that word of truth is, it goes in deep. And so it kind of, as I went on this journey of thinking and reflecting, it really stood out clearly to me. Like, for me, I'm sure there are more that I haven't discovered yet, but for me, these three things, they are like fundamental, core, deep parts of who I am. And I realised, you know what, these things, they're sacred to me because they're sacred to God. You know, these are the things which it's like when he created me, he imprinted these things on my heart really deeply. They're part of who I am. When he designed me, when he made me, that's how he made me to be. And one of my favourite verses, one of my favourite psalms in the Bible is Psalm 139. It's a psalm all about how God is so close with us, how he designed us and he created us when we were born. It says in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And you know what? The way that God has made each one of us is incredible. Every single person exists now on this planet that has ever existed, he has designed and created totally unique. He's imprinted parts of who he is really deeply in your heart and in your soul. There are things that are sacred to him, and he's put those sacred things into each one of you. And actually, how I carry his image to this world is really different to how you carry it, because of the things that he's put in me, which are different to the things that he's put into you. So I remember in a talk once, this guy put up a picture of this big multifaceted diamond, and he actually had this little cartoon guy kind of looking up at it, and it really showed, like, you know, this guy's looking up, but he can't see everything. You know, this diamond is so huge, so amazing, so massive. And what he was saying is, like, as a human being, when we look at God, we just see a small portion of the whole. You know, we only see certain facets of who we are. And yet what we do see and what we do experience blows us away. But he's still so much bigger than we comprehend. And in the same way, it takes all of us carrying different parts of his image, different parts of who he is, to display to this world and to each other the fullness of everything that he is. You know, Jesus, he was God himself in a human body, and he's the only one, I would say, who carried the whole of God's image in himself, in who he was. And the rest of us, There's just some really key ways that we carry his image and who he is. And when I've been prepping this talk, I've been spending time studying and thinking again about God, just about how incredible he is. You know, guys, if you've got any time over the summer, I would recommend you just start to make lists of all the things that pop into your head and your heart about who God is. Bible verses that you've known over the years, from songs that you've known, have a little look in the Psalms, go back to some of the letters in the New Testament, and make a little study of yourself on who God is, because you will actually be blown away. You just get excited again about him, because you're like, wow, God is incredible. You know, he could have chosen to be anything. And when you read stories about the gods in different, I know we like fantasy books, me and Mark, so you read about all these different vengeful gods and this type of god and that type of god, then you look at our God and you're just like, whoa, he's amazing. You know what? And when you spend time looking at him, you just get excited about it again. Then you start talking to people about it again because you're blown away about it. So what I want us to do now is we're going to spend a little bit of time, and I've put some of the things up from my study, some of the stuff that's bounced into my heart. Obviously, this is just me, my little small vision of the diamond, and you guys would each come up with a whole bunch of different things. But Scott, if you want to come up for me, that'd be fantastic. We're going to spend a little bit of time just reflecting on God and how incredible he is, what he's like. And while we do, Scott's going to play. I'm going to read a few verses. And I just want you guys to have a think. What resonates with you? You know, are there any characteristics of who God is up there, or even that just pop into your heart that you think, wow, I think maybe he's put that in me really strongly. I think he's imprinted that in me. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Deuteronomy 32, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And many psalms speak of the Lord being a shield around us, a place of refuge, a strong tower. Psalm 71 says, be to me a protecting rock of safety, where I am always welcome. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He is good to all. He shows compassion on all that he has made. In Ephesians 2, it says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in sins. It is by grace you've been saved. 1 John 4 verse 8 says that God is love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Love keeps no record of when it is wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through everything. Feel free to sing along or just to sit and listen as Scott sings over us. One Corinthians 13 also says, now we see things imperfectly, as in a poor mirror, but then at the end, we will see things with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. Thank you so much, guys, for coming up and doing that. We're going to have 5 minutes now. What I would like you guys to do is just have a little pause for discussion. So I think probably just in twos, if possible, because we're only going to have 5 minutes. What I want you guys to do is just have a little chat with the person next to you. Is this something that you've ever thought about before? And we're going to keep this up on the screen here. Obviously, like I said, it's my little glimpse, so it's totally not complete. But are there any aspects of God's character that you feel like you carry really strongly as an individual? And there might be some up here that I haven't mentioned that you want to include. So, yeah, just have a little chat with somebody you feel comfortable with. It can be the person next to you, or go find someone else in the room, that's fine, just in twos. Is this something you've thought about before? And are there any aspects of God's character or nature that you feel like you might carry really strongly in your heart? Okay, amazing, guys. Do you want to bring those conversations to a close? We'll get on to part two. Hopefully, you've enjoyed that, just starting to think a little bit. And I'd really encourage you guys, like, just, yeah, start studying who God is and thinking, wow, well, who's he made me? However, as we all know very clearly every day, we're not in Eden anymore. And actually, these differences often cause division and conflict. You know, the reality of the world that we live in is that it's no longer perfect. You know, as human beings, we're in rebellion against God. And because of that, our world is broken. It's fractured, if you like. Everything's a bit out of step, you know. And actually, God's image in us is fractured and can be broken. And these differences between us, rather than being something that we cherish and celebrate and enjoy, they can actually just be really irritating and cause real problems in everyday life, you know. My fundamental drivers can be so different to your fundamental drivers. And that means my focus is different. It means how I see people, how I see scenarios is different. What I care about in any given situation could be really different to what matters to you. And because these things that God's put in our hearts are sacred to us, they're so vital, it can actually be really hard to see another person's perspective sometimes, or understand that actually these things that are sacred to me aren't sacred to you. And you know what? You can trample on my sacred things without even meaning to. Just a couple of examples from my own personal life. One of them is Brexit. Oh my goodness, I was almost like, should I even talk about this? Because it's such a crazy subject. People are so up in arms about it. And you know what, guys? You know me, I have this Scottish warrior screaming freedom. So I think you can probably guess how I voted. And you know what? Oh my word, I couldn't tell anybody, because the vitriol and absolute disgust of people that didn't vote the same way as me was so powerful. I remember sitting in some parties thinking, I'm just going to stay really quiet and not say anything here, because I don't dare to share my heart now. You know, and actually for me, that's probably going to annoy other people, sorry guys, because politics might be sacred to you, but unfortunately it's not something I care about at all. What I care about is freedom. And so actually I couldn't vote any other way. For somebody with my heart, it was impossible for me to vote any other way, because I want to live in a free country where our high court makes a choice, makes a decision based on our laws, and it can't get overturned because we're free. And literally, it boils down to that. I didn't care about anything else. That was it for me. Yeah, and that, I mean, that caused massive division, didn't it? That was the first thing, actually, that made me start realising I had this freedom drive, because I thought, wow, goodness, wow, these guys don't care about what I care about at all. Even with my family drive, I mean, for me, I've got three siblings, and we don't see each other very often anymore. So family time, when there's just all of us together, to me, that is an absolutely sacred time. Like, you don't mess with that time. So once a year, we have our Christmas day, usually about a week before Christmas. It's always the same weekend, like 15th, 16th of December. So we all should know by this many years in, right, what date that is. And that's sacred, so you do not put anything else on that date, okay? So last year, my younger brother, Andy, he's like, oh, yeah, we're only going to be there in the morning. What do you mean, you're only going to be in the morning? Oh, well, Ivy's been invited to a kid's birthday party in the afternoon. And everything in me is like, what? What do you mean? A kid's birthday party doesn't matter at all. What's important is our family time. Oh, my goodness. But I wasn't just angry. I was really hurt because that's sacred to me. And he's just treated it like it's nothing, you know. And when that happens, you've kind of got a choice. Like, am I just going to carry on in that? Or am I actually going to talk to this person and try and work out, like, what's going on, share my heart with them, hear what their heart is, try and get some resolution? So Mark, bless him, was like, you've got to talk to your brother, Ruth. You need to just stop being angry and upset and sad, and you just need to talk to Andy about it. So eventually I talked to Andy about it. And you know what? Andy absolutely loves other people. He's amazing for that, you know. That's one of the ways that he images God. He loves people and he wants to draw them in. He wants to bring them in. And so the lady whose kid's party it was, you know, she's struggling. She's just starting to connect with church for the first time. My brother and his wife are her connection points. Her daughter, Ivy's the first friend she's ever made in the country. All this stuff comes out, you know. And so I just have to take a deep breath and go, okay, I get it. Actually, to me, you know, that time's sacred and that party is like, what? What are you doing? But to him, you know, he's following what's sacred in his heart, actually, you know. And so I just had to say, okay. Okay, I get it. You're just going to be there in the morning, and that's okay, you know. And actually, the little girl got poorly. The party got cancelled. He was there all day. Thank you, God. but it's just, you know, these things happen, you know. And actually, these differences that we have should be a cause to celebrate. You know, let's choose when those situations happen to try to be a bit curious rather than angry and hurt when we don't understand others' decisions or points of view in a situation. You know what? Not everybody has to agree with you or think like you. That's something I'm learning slowly because I really think they do. But, you know, give time to have those critical conversations and learn to respect, you know what? What's sacred to you isn't sacred to them, and that is okay because God's put those things really powerfully in you, but he's put something else really powerfully in them. You know, he's put different drivers, and that's a good thing, you know. Mark's always telling me, different doesn't always equal wrong, Ruth. And that's really true. So let's try to look out for God's heart and God's character in other people and try to name it when we see it. And actually, we'll be blessed by what we find. You know, that situation, my brother, I was actually blessed because I thought, you know what? Wow. I wouldn't do that for somebody. That's amazing. You're actually amazing that you've made that choice, you know, and actually they will be blessed and grow into who more of God's made them to be. And the other thing that really can impact God's image in us and muddy God's image in us is selfishness. You know, when selfishness gets in the way, these beautiful things that God's put deep in my heart, these parts of who he is, when they're selfishly focused, they can become ugly and they can cause hurt and damage to ourselves and to others. You know, for me, in my selfishness, my focus on family and friends that are like family can become really cliquey and exclusive, you know. I can actually, I can leave that welcoming inclusivity side of me because I go, no, I don't want this to change. Yeah, this is my little safe place. I'm happy with these people. These people are my foundation. And actually, I don't want to rock the boat with that. So it can become clicky, you know, when actually God wants me to be inclusive with that drive he's put in me. He wants me to be welcoming and bring others into that family. And in my selfishness, my need for freedom, as we've heard, can lead to a very rebellious person. You know, I can disregard boundaries and authorities, and I can show a real lack of care towards other people. I do what I want to do, and my personal freedom is what matters to me, no matter what, no matter what impact it has on others. But I want to work on these things that he's put inside of me, these parts of who he is that he's entrusted me with, so that they're pure, so that they really reflect him, so that I can focus them outwards and upwards rather than inwards. That's what I need to do with what he's put in my heart. And you know what? This is actually going to take work. Like, it's all right for me to stand and say that, but it's going to take work to do that, you know. I need to spend some time in self-reflection. I need to spend time in confession. Actually, weirdly, starting to understand myself better has helped me with confession a bit, because I was always one of those people that, I don't even know what to confess, God. But you know what? You start thinking about these drivers he's put in you and actually some of the conflict they might be causing in your life, or, you know, some of the selfish ways that they're expressed, and suddenly you've got some things to confess. You know, and actually even some time brainstorming and planning. Okay, so he's put these things in me. Well, how can I actually turn them upwards and outwards? Like, what's the practical thing that I need to do? And for me, I was really struggling thinking about this with my freedom drive, because I was like, oh my goodness, it just seems to be almost 100% selfishly focused. Like, I know this is from you, and I know it's really strong in me, but when I start thinking, I started thinking about, slavery, modern day slavery, or women in the sex trade, and I was trying to think of people who weren't free, like maybe there's a cause I can get passionate about and that's how I can turn this thing outwards, you know. And as I was thinking about all these things, I was like, I don't care about those things. You know, what you see is what you get. I can't fake it, people. I am not a faking it person. So I literally was like, well, why don't I care about them? Freedom is so important to me, but what then, God? Like, what am I excited about freedom for you? How can I do that? And God just brought that verse to my mind. The truth will set you free. And it's like he connected, and I thought, oh my goodness, wow, truth is my thing, you know, and freedom's my thing. And actually, they're connected, you know, and I realized what I really want to do is speak words of truth that bring freedom to people's hearts and lives. I want to speak a word of truth into their hearts, into people's hearts that I meet, that is going to release something in who they are, to be free and to be themselves, or in their situation, or in their relationships. And when I thought about that, then I got really excited. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is how I can image God, because I care about that. I'm excited about that. You know? So, just finally, we're getting there, people. there's a great story in Exodus 33 where Moses is going up the mountain to get the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And one thing that I love in that story is that Moses says to God, like, I want to see you on. I see your glory. Show me your glory, you know. And you think, oh my goodness, dude, you're already up the mountain. Come on, like, God's right there. He's speaking to you. You're asking for more of his glory. But you know what? God says this incredibly precious thing to Moses. He says, I'll get my goodness to pass by you. You know, I will show you my goodness. And actually, the glory of God is his goodness. You know, if we think about all those things we saw on that slide earlier, how incredible he is, then everything in you just goes, wow, you are glorious, God. You're incredible, you know. And there's an amazing prophecy, a word of prophecy in Habakkuk, which is one of the last small prophetic books in the Bible. And he talks about a time in the future when the earth will be filled with the knowledge
of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I like to think of actually that glory as being goodness. You know what? That's what God's heart is. One day, he wants this world to be full of the knowledge of his goodness. To every heart that's here, that everybody would know deep in their hearts the goodness of God, how incredible he is. You know what? And we can be part of making that happen. Like, we can enable others to see God's glory and his goodness in us by imaging him the best that we can as we walk through life, by spending that time with him, that time thinking about it, that time reflecting and reading his word, you know, by recognizing his image in us and working on it. You know, I remember that old song, Refiner's Fire. It was like one from the 80s we used to sing in youth camp. But you know what? It said, my heart's one desire is to be holy. And actually, it was all about wanting to reflect God's image, wanting to show the world how incredible he is, how good he is, you know. And Jesus said, when you've met me, you've met the Father. And, you know, you can obviously say, oh, you know, of course, because he's God, you know, that's true. And he was God, you know, and he revealed so much to us of who God is through his life, through his death on the cross. And because also when he walked through this world, he knew who he was. He figured out, he spent time with God, he figured out who he was in God, what the Father had put in him. And he looked for and he drew out what God had put in others of himself as well. And really, that's what I want in a small way to be able to say, when you've met me, you've met the Father. You've experienced something of who God is, something of his glory. That I've been part of spreading the knowledge of his glory and his goodness just by being who he made me to be. Reflecting his image the best way that I can to everybody that I meet. So, because I'm a teacher, I've got homework sheets for you guys. So I'm going to pray, and then maybe as we have the worship at the end, maybe Mike and myself will pass them around to you guys. But really, they're just a little personal reflection for you guys. It really struck me because on Monday this week, I was looking at Lectio 365, and it was about the image of God, and then it had these prayers in it that were to do with, and I just thought, wow, God, there's something on your heart this summer as well about us being in your image and reflecting your image. So, I just put those together to help you guys think through over the next few days. But let's just pray, and then we'll get Scott to come up and lead us in some worship. Oh, Father God, we just want to say that we really, really love you. You are incredible. We've spent just a little bit of time and we recognize, wow, you're just this amazing, incredible being that we're just starting to get to know. You know, we just see a small section of who you are, and yet we're already completely blown away and in love with you. I just want to pray that you'll help us see more of you this summer. Help us to get to know you better. Reveal parts of who you are to us. And Father God, reveal who you are in us. And I pray those things that you put really strongly in each one of these guys' hearts, just reveal that to them. Help them to see how they show the world your goodness for them that's individual and personal. And so we want to say thank you. We love you. Amen.